want you to remember the number 11, the number 4, and the number 9. Well, I'm not going to tell you exactly why just yet. But I want you to remember the number 11, the number 4, and the number 9. As we think about the book of Jeremiah, these last couple of weeks we have been reading from this in our daily Bible reading. And Jeremiah is a remarkable servant and prophet of God. And as we have finished up this book this last week, we really have been reading from a masterpiece of prophecy and preaching and teaching that spans some 40 plus years of ministry. In fact, as you look at the introduction to the book of Jeremiah, in the first three verses of chapter 1, the Bible says the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Now as we think about these introductory words, this time span, beginning with the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah down to the very last days of King Zedekiah, the last king of the nation of Judah, you come up with a figure that is at least 40 years, if not even greater than that. Some have speculated that on the outside reach of Jeremiah's time as a prophet and preacher and teacher, it could have been as much as 60 years. But for sure, we know there are at least 40 years involved in his preaching and teaching. And what we're going to do in the first part of this lesson is kind of a summation of Jeremiah's 40 plus years of ministry. And then we're going to come back after reading several passages throughout the book, and we're going to make about 5 very specific applications that we learn from Jeremiah and his prophecies. Jeremiah preached and prophesied during some of the darkest days of the nation of Judah. It was the final days of the nation before they fell into Babylonian captivity. And his preaching was heard by many, but followed by few. The vast majority of people, including those kings with whom he had often personal audience, rejected the things that Jeremiah had to preach and teach. He warned, he implored, he begged. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet because of the sadness that filled his grave responsibility to take the message of punishment and condemnation. But also it was a message of hope because he encouraged the people to turn, to repent, to change. And he told them that God would still have mercy. There would still be consequences, but that God would still have mercy. It is in the book of Jeremiah that we finally read that God had decided, because of the unrepentant hearts of these people, for 70 years they would be taken into captivity. But it's also in this same book that we read that they would return, talking about God's mercy as well. But as we think about some key passages in the book, and there are so many places from which we could read and we could decide various things in the book, but we're only going to pick a few from the book to read this morning. And then, like I said, in the second part of this lesson, we will follow up with about 5 specific applications. We've seen the introductory time frame that Jeremiah prophesied in. But now would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. We're going to read about the first 11 verses of Jeremiah chapter 25. And this is the place where Jeremiah says that God has decreed that there will be a punishment because these people will not turn, they will not repent, they will not change, they will not listen, they will not obey God. And so that great decree of punishment is finally given to them that we ultimately see fulfilled when the Babylonian Empire, under the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, came and conquered this city and carried many people away captive and also slaughtered thousands and thousands of others. In Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah, concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So get your audience in mind there. This isn't just an isolated incident. This isn't just Jeremiah speaking to a small few select group of people. It says that he spoke this in all of Judah, to all the people of Judah, and to all of Jerusalem. And in verse 3 it says, from the 13th year of Josiah, this is what Jeremiah says, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all His servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them or worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. See, this is the message of Jeremiah. This is the message of the other prophets. Verse 7, yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them, and will make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Because they did not listen. They would not obey. And for 23 years, Jeremiah had been teaching and preaching. And he had many more years yet to go. But for 23 years at this point, the people would not listen. Now, if you would, move to the next chapter and look in Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning at verse 1, of the reaction of the people. In Jeremiah 26, verse 1, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came from the Lord saying, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house. And what we're reading here is characteristic not only of this one particular moment, but all these years that Jeremiah would teach and preach and prophesy. You see that these are not even necessarily in chronological order, but they are in the order that Jeremiah writes them, to give us the impression and the idea of what he taught and the reaction of the people. And so, in verse 2 of Jeremiah 26, thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command you to speak them. Do not diminish a word. Perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity I propose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants and prophets whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I shall make this house like Shiloh, a reference back to an earlier time frame in the nation of Judah, and I will make this city a curse in all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah. Now look at the audience. The priests,
the prophets, and the people. These are the people who are listening. Not only the everyday common man, but also the priests and the prophets, the leaders. But look at their reaction as you keep reading. Verse 8. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die." Now how's that for a reception? How's that for 23 years of tireless work to God's people? Not only did the people reject him, but many of those who are called prophets, obviously false prophets, and the book of Jeremiah is replete with the prophecies and even names a few of them specifically of the falsehoods that these men taught and preached, and the priests, the spiritual leaders of the people. They all said that this man who's speaking God's word, you shall surely die. Now, how's that for a reaction? Do you get an idea as to why God was just a little bit upset with these people? Why God had said, you know, I've sent these people to you. I've tried, and I've tried again. And morning and night, and for 23 years, this one man, Jeremiah, has come to you. And, you know, the message has not changed. It has not been confusing. It's been very clear and specific. But you would not listen. You read a little further as we think about Jeremiah's ministry, and the text we have read talks about this being during the time frame of the king that was named Jehoiakim, one of the sons of Josiah. You read a little further on in the book up into chapter 36. In chapter 36, Jeremiah is commanded to write the teachings of God on a scroll and to take that for it to be read ultimately by Jehoiakim, the leader of the people. And although Jeremiah did not firsthand take this into the very presence of Jehoiakim, it was taken by some of the few God-fearing people that still lived in that region. In chapter 36, you read about this scroll, the words of Jeremiah, ultimately really the words of God, the words of the Holy Spirit being read in the very presence of the king. And in Jeremiah chapter 36, you read what King Jehoiakim does. It says that it was wintertime, he had a fire burning, and that as the book was read, as the scroll was read, that he took a knife, and he began to cut the book into small pieces and throw it in the fire, and piece by piece, until eventually he threw the whole book into the fire. And the Bible says that he did not fear, and he was not afraid. And so even the written word of God was rejected. As we continue thinking about Jeremiah's ministry, the last king of Israel was a man named Zedekiah. And in chapter 38, we read that Zedekiah, although he was an evil man, he was an unrighteous man, and that he was an ungodly king. And that, as you look at chapters 37 and 38 and even on into 39, you see how he really didn't ultimately believe Jeremiah, but he still wanted to hear from Jeremiah. And in chapter 38, at verse 14, we read this interesting conversation between Jeremiah and Zedekiah. Jeremiah, the righteous, holy man. Zedekiah, the ungodly king. Jeremiah 38, verse 14. And Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of those men who seek your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul will live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they abuse me. And Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Then listen to Jeremiah. Please, obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you. And to this ungodly, unrighteous, unholy man, he says, it will be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word the Lord has spoken to me. Sadly, as we read in the very next chapter, Jeremiah 39, Zedekiah refused to listen to Jeremiah. And Zedekiah refused to do the things that Jeremiah implored him and begged him to do. And Zedekiah, through his unholiness, ungodliness, unrighteousness, disobedience, and stubbornness of head and heart, led these people into wholesale destruction. And chapter 39 details this. In fact, chapter 39, you might say, is somewhat of the short account, because about the first 8 or 10 verses tell us about it. But as you look at the very last chapter of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52, you have a little more detail in chapter 52. We will not have time this morning or take the time to read the entire chapter for this lesson. But I want you to listen to a few verses from Jeremiah 52. It's very similar to what you read in chapter 39. But ultimately, it's about Zedekiah's disobedience and what happened. You remember what Jeremiah said in chapter 38? If you listen, if you obey, if you surrender, you'll live. The city will not be burned. Chapter 39 and chapter 52, and we're going to read from chapter 52, tell us what happened. Jeremiah 52, verse 1. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. You know the guy who burned the word? They were related. They both did evil. Verse 3, for because of the anger of the Lord, this happened to Jerusalem and Judea, till he finally cast them out of his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all the armies came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall, like a huge ramp, against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year, 2 years of King Zedekiah. By the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city by night by way of gate between the two walls, which was on the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around, and they went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. This same Zedekiah who was told, if you surrender, it will go well with you, and your soul will live. But he didn't. And now he's captured. Verse 9. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon in Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he pronounced judgment on him. And the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah and Riblah. And he also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. See, this is what happens when you don't listen to God. This is what happens when you think you can do it without God's help or God's counsel or God's guidance or God's leadership. Your family is murdered. The last sight you see before your eyes are put out is that. You're bound in fetters. You're put in a Babylonian foreign pagan prison, and there you die. That's what happened to Zedekiah when he refused to listen to God. Look down at verse 13 and 14. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Jeremiah said, if you surrender, you can stop this from happening. Jeremiah said, if you will relent and repent, this doesn't have to take place. But he refused. And look what he did. And look what happened. And look how many lives are lost. The temple that had stood at this point by some 375 years is burned to the ground. Now, these last few minutes that we have, let's make about five applications from the book of Jeremiah. Number one, nations often have the leaders they deserve because leaders are usually a reflection of the citizens of said nation. You can make application to Washington, D.C., okay? Nations often have the leaders they deserve because those leaders are just a reflection of the citizens of that country. Number two, listen to God's word when it's spoken by God's man. Listen to God's word when it is spoken by God's man. Think about Jeremiah. Some 40 years he preached and he taught and he pled and he prayed. And the Bible says the people and the priests and the other prophets who would be false prophets did not listen. They refused to listen. And just to get a sampling from names of people that we know of in the Bible who for decades and even centuries prior to this had been teaching and preaching the same message that Jeremiah was preaching. Listen to some of those names. Elijah, Elisha. There was a prophetess named Huldah even in the days of Josiah. What about when you look at the Old Testament, you begin to put the time frame together of when these various prophets taught and preached in the administrations of various kings, all teaching and preaching the same message of repent of your sins and turn away from your sins and follow God and be faithful. Not only do you have Elijah and Elisha, you have Isaiah and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Micah and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Jeremiah. And those are just the ones whose names we know. Listen to God's word when it's taught by God's man. Number three, sin has severe consequences. Sin has severe consequences. Disobedience, refusal to listen, believe and obey has severe consequences. And when you look at what happened to Jerusalem, when you look at what happened to Judah, when you look at what the Babylonians did to these people, someone has pointed out that these severe consequences, the high price that was paid was internally, externally, and eternally. Now that really hasn't changed. There's a high price to pay for sin. The book of Jeremiah and what we have read this morning demonstrates that just too clearly to deny. Application number 4. God's righteous cause will prevail or eventually triumph over evil. God's righteous cause will triumph over evil. You know, ultimately, God's righteous cause in the whole nation of Israel was to bring the Messiah to the world. To bring the Savior for all mankind, not just the Israelites, but for all mankind to the world, to the seed of those people. Those people were in danger of snuffing that out. Those people were in danger of having that fall off the cliff. But God's overall, overriding, righteous purpose would not be trumped. It would not be stopped. It would prevail over the evil. And ultimately, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come even through the lineage of these people that we're reading about right here. Zedekiah was a direct ancestor of Jesus. Even Babel, wicked, evil, pagan Babel, after that 70 years, was punished as well. Because God's righteous cause will always triumph over evil. Number 5. God gives sinful men ample time and warning. God gives sinful men ample time and warning to provide him an opportunity to repent before punishment. You see, what happened in Jeremiah 52, when the city fell, when the people were slaughtered and many were carried away captured, when the temple was burned and the city was destroyed, that didn't just happen overnight. That wasn't God just giving the people a few minutes warning and saying, bam, surprise, I got you. For 40 years, Jeremiah had been preaching. For 40 years, Jeremiah had been warning them. Isaiah before that. Elisha and Elijah way back before that. And many of the other prophets that we named just a few moments ago. God gives sinful man ample time and ample warning and ample opportunity to repent before punishment. Jeremiah preached 40 years. Back in Genesis 6, Noah preached 100 years. The words of Jesus Christ have been preached for 2,000 years. God gives man time to repent. Now you may recall at the beginning of the lesson I told you I wanted you to remember three numbers. 11, 4, and 9. And when you look at Jeremiah 39 and Jeremiah 52, you will see that the fall and the destruction of Jerusalem under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon occurred in the 11th year, the 4th month, the 9th day. The 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah, the 4th month, and the 9th day. And although God gives man ample time and ample warning, eventually there is an 11th year, a 4th month, and a 9th day. And we're drawing this to a close, and we're about to sing a song of invitation. We're about to encourage one another to look at our lives as we've looked at life through the eyes of Jeremiah. But I have to ask one question. Not just to you, but to myself as well. Am I headed toward an 11th year, a fourth month, and a ninth day? Because I refuse to listen. Zedekiah and all those others before him had an opportunity to change that had they wanted to, but they refused. Right now, in the listening of God's Word, through God's man Jeremiah, all these centuries later, you still have an opportunity to believe and to obey. Zedekiah heard, Zedekiah understood, Zedekiah considered, Zedekiah thought about, but Zedekiah didn't obey. Will you hear and consider and think about and believe? And will you do more than Zedekiah? Will you obey? Will you listen and obey that same Messiah that came through these people to save us through His blood when we believe and obediently respond to Him in our belief and faith, are baptized in His name, and walk faithfully with Him? If you are subject to the invitation of Christ, we like Jeremiah, we say please. We plead. We implore. We beg you. Please come and do what you need to do, and do it today as we stand.